Quickly, because I like to start on time. That's what we try and do. So we wanted today's Wednesday. Wednesday has become the end of the week in this year. So I thought we should chazer a little bit. Plus that I found some two really things. First of all, that I found some interesting marmikaimis, which relate to what we were doing. So we should do them also. And chazer, and also there was some good questions. I think I sent out one of the questions, what I hope was a good answer. And I think, did everyone get that question?
Today?
What?
Today?
No, yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I hope it went out. Because it was a good question, and I hope it was a good answer. So, okay, we just see some more people just showed up. Yerachmiel Berger, I don't see you, but you're here somewhere. Yossi Blau, Daniel Lewin. And I don't see where Yerachmiel Berger disappeared, but okay.
I'm here. I'm keeping my camera off to save internet.
Okay, and Rashi Friedman. Hello there, and Shamir. Okay, anyway, so that's chazer. But let's start with the new Marma comes to chazer. We have this Gemara on Mem Aleph. Very interesting Gemara. Gemara asks Akasha, how do you find the case of Muad the Adam for killing three times? So first we have this machlekes of umdina, and the Gemara says, Rabba says it's an umdina, and Rav Ashi says umdina lav klumu. So Shamir quoted that the in the Mafteach says, quotes an or sameach, and a tuf tam vidas, that said that this is the same machlekes as the machlekes whether you go bus or umdina, which is, you know, obviously I'm not going to argue with them, but that's definitely something that the Rishiva would not like to say, that this Tama of the Gemara here is totally in a machlekes amaroim in a different sugya, and they're two different than the two machlekes in Minchas are totally zebezeh, and nobody connects the two, no Rishon, no Gemara. It's a little daichik. Okay, so we had a different shot. At least I wanted to say that the machlekes is whether there's one standard or two standards. Okay. But then the Gemara gives some other answers. The Gemara says, and Shasik and Shosh and Le'adam. Then that's fine. No one objects to that. Then Rav Zid Amar, Koshaharek, Shosh and Behemoth. Then the Mu'ud of Behemoth, Amud Adam. Rav Shimi says, Shaharek, Shosh, Alde Kochavin, Amud of Amud of Israel. Rav Shimelaka says, Gaharek, Shosh, Le'adam, Treif, Amud, Treif, Amud, Shalem. So you have three answers with the same lashon. Rashi says on the number 1 and 3 that they're tamua. I was apparently proven that he's possibly wrong, not for sure wrong, but it's a possibility that obviously all three are tamua. Definitely there are people that say that way, right? The Rav Magid, who's a Rishon, definitely assumes that all three are tamua, right? That correct? I think so. Now, if you assume all three are tamua, which one is the biggest, is the most, you know, the smallest tamua? Which one is the least likely to be tamua?
I mean, simply speaking, the last one should be the least likely.
Why?
I mean, it's a buildup that we were trying to say more expansive.
I agree with you. In other words, at the simple reading of the Gemara, each one is answering the last question. That's what the Ella is. They first said the first shot, then they shrugged it up. Mu'ud Adam, Behem Avi, Mu'ud Adam, Ella. Ella means we're responding to your question. We shrugged up the second one. Mu'ud Adam, Behem Avi, Mu'ud Israel, Ella. So that means that Rav Shimon ben Lakish, in the simple reading, the way the Rabbi Magid reads the Gemara, the Rav Shimon ben Lakish holds that even though he agrees that Mu'ed the Ovi Kochavim lo ave Mu'ed Yisrael, he still held that Mu'ed the Treif ave Mu'ed Yisrael, the Shalem, right? I think that is very, very mukhrach. Even though Shamir said it, and I agree with him. Usually we argue, but we're entitled to agree sometimes. No, that sounds mukhrach. So according to the Rava Magid, according to the simple reading of the Gemara, it's the Gemara is going in steps. So there's more reason to say you're a mu'ed by treifa than there is by akum. What would be the svara? So the Rava Magid Pasha tells you the svara. Rava Magid says that the Gemara's kasha is that maybe the Adin is going to be more careful. So by a behemoth, he's not so careful, but for an Adam, he's more careful. Then the Gemara says, goy. Obviously, a person is more careful by a goy than a behemoth. Then the Gemara says, still, that's not a proof, because maybe a person is more careful for a Yisrael than for a goy. Then they say a treifa. Treifa is for a Jew. Treifa still has a whole year to live. Now, treifa doesn't mean necessarily that he's dying on his deathbed. He's going to die in 5 minutes. Treifa could be a person is a cancer patient, and the doctors say you only have 6 months to live, but right now he's in good health. So a treifa, there's like more reason, you know, you want to be careful. Fourth is a Jewish life who's living a life. He has who knows how many months to live, so you don't want the animal to kill him, right? So the Gemara, according to Rava Magid, the Gemara is going in steps. Now, what's very interesting is Rashi only says to mu'an two, the first and the last. So I don't know. I would assume, if you would have asked me, I would have said that obviously if the first and the last are tumua, Rashi holds that the middle one is also tumua for two reasons. First of all, because in Svara, we just saw from the Rava Magid that the third one is a bigger chiddush than the second one. So if the third one is tumua, then for sure the second one is tumua. And also because if the Lashon, the Gemara's Lashon is very, very daichik to say that the Lashon is not consistent. Why did Rashi say it in the third time? You know, he said it the first time. Why did he say it in the third time? Why did he say it in the middle time? I would assume that the middle time was self-understood because it was like such an obvious, once you say it the first time, the svara is obvious the second time. And if I care, the third time, it's really not such a simple svara. So there, Rashi had to say, this is also tumua.
Right, and Rashi also there goes ahead and explains why it's tumua, simply speaking. And Rashi follows up and explains.
I'm looking in the Rashi, I don't remember that. Where does Rashi explain that?
I think that was the first one.
Atreva lo katina, you know, that doesn't explain. I'm sorry. No.
Isn't that explaining mean that the Seder of the Dibro Maschil would seem to imply that he's explaining the Tamiya of the Gemara?
No, he's explaining. I thought he's just explaining how it answers the Kasha, how you can get away without killing the animal.
Then it's backwards. It should be before the Tamiya, no?
Okay. But I still think that's what Rashi is doing. He's trying to explain the Gemara.
I thought it would be very good, according to Rebbe's approach, that the idea was you needed to be a mu'ud of Hariga. He's saying, well, granted you kill a Yisrael, but this is not a Yisrael that gives skila for the animal, and therefore that's not a mu'ud of Hariga.
Okay, I hear. Now there's a okay, I hear, but I wasn't learning like that. That's a little. You know, because saying it's out of order, the Rashi. Okay, sometimes I don't know, you know, how much I would want to base on that. But I hear
this is a miyashiv to the Rava Magid too. I mean, I'm explaining that Rashi there doesn't. Rashi needs to say to me and needs to explain there. He didn't.
I understand what you're saying. I followed. Yes, it's a nice chat. I don't know if you want to say it's a raya to me. I would say that the simple reading of Rashi is he's just a little bit out of order. I wouldn't say it's a riot to me, but I would say that the diak of the Yamsho Shloimo, why Rashi says to Mu'an 1 and 3 and not on 2, is not such a strong diak, because since the pshat in the Gemara, as the Rava Magid has to learn, is that the Tamiya on 3 is the weakest Tamiya of the bunch, because that's how clearly the Rava Magid is learning. So it's not so terrible in the first time Rashi has to say Tamuah, because the first time you wouldn't know. And the third time, maybe it's Rashi really was a felt that Rashi could hear that someone would not hear that this is a tamua. So Rashi wanted to point out that it's a tamia. By Goyim, it's relatively easy to hear that it's a tamia. So he didn't bother saying they're tamia. And obviously, if you said the first one, it's a tamia, as really Rashi should have said the tamia on the first one and then not have to say again. Because once you say the first one's tamua, any Hushit person learns that Gemara is consistent. If the first question is Tamua, the second question is Tamua. Rashi said on the third one, it's Tamua because it wasn't so Pushit and Svara that it's Tamua. So therefore, he had to spell out that it's Tamua. That's what I would have assumed. But the Maisa, interesting enough, which is, you know, I stand corrected, that the Yamsho Shlomo, who's obviously a big person, we don't necessarily like to argue with Yamsho Shlomo's. Yamsho Shlomo is what, the 1500s? I think he's in a pretty chasha, the Marshal. So he doesn't say it's for sure. He says, ksas mashmos. He says, the fact that Rashi left out the word tamua on the middle one implies that Rashi holds it. And the middle one, it wasn't a tamua, but it was a statement. Which, again, it's something that I would not have said because it makes a daichik in the lashon of the Gemara. Yeah, that the Gemara uses the exact same lashon and means something else. And it also, in Svara, it's not so simple. It's just an interesting hashkava because we like talking, a drop hashkava makes life interesting. It could be the, you know, the disagreement between, I don't say disagreement, but there's an interesting hashkafa. I heard this from Rav Nosson Shomin. That's how. Rav Nosson Shomin was the son of Rav Mordechai Shomin. Rav Mordechai Shomin was the Rosh Hashiva of Chavaka in Bnei Brak. So he was Nifter. He was, you know, he was together with, he was Rav Isaac Shear's son-in-law. With a very, very big gadol, Rav Mordechai Shomin. Rav Nosson was a very big gadol too. And he came to America when his father was Nifter, because he said his father had the whole Sabako office in his head. And once he was Nifter, the office, well, the notes were lost. So he had to reestablish it. So this is Sabako of Nebra. He was a super genius, one of these wild geniuses. You know, he was, you know, the... So anyway, see, he was a Talmud of the Chazon Ish, of Nosson Shomin. So he told me that the Chazon Ish and the Brit Galut had a basic Yisaitisika Machlaikas. He had a few Machlaikas, he said. One of the Machlaikas was when you have a, let's say, a Shver Rambam, that the Rambam is Shver from a Gemara. So do you Miyashev the Gemara to fit into the Rambam, or do you Miyashev the Rambam to fit into the Gemara? I don't know if I said it right both ways, but right, in other words, are you daichik the Gemara? Because obviously the Gemara must have meant like the Rambam. The Rambam must have read the Gemara like him. Or are you daichik the Rambam? Because the Rambam can't argue with the Gemara. So he said that the Chazon Ish held that the Iker in Halacha is always a Gemara. Therefore, everything has to fit into the Gemara. So your daichik, everything, that they should fit into the Gemara. And the Bris Kerov held that since, you know, the Gemara is later, so later, the later the person, the less he has to be medactic in his lashon. So it's easier to be medachik the Gemara than daichik the Rambam. So we're daichik the Gemara, not the Rambam. We're always daichik the earlier person. And that's a very interesting machlokes. Do you daichik the earlier person or the later person? So here, it's a little bit this shayda. The Gemara's lashon, to say like the Yamsho Shlomo, you're definitely being daichik the Gemara's lashon. To say like me, you're being daichik a little bit Rashi's lashon, because Rashi left out me in the middle case. He only said by one and three, and then said by two. So it's a little, I don't say it's just the only criteria, but it's like, I would be inclined in this case to be daichik Rashi to fit into the Gemara. And the, you know, and the Yamsho Shlomo, is saying that we should be taichik the Gemara to fit into Rashi. Okay, I'm not necessarily the same hashkafa, but it could be with that hashkafa. You know, like who are you supposed to be taichik? You know, the Chazon Ish says you always taichik the earlier person. So okay, so that's what Rabbi Amshar Shlomo is doing. You taichik the Gemara to fit into Rashi. I would say I also usually go with that approach that we taichik the earlier person. But here, I think the daichik in the Gemara is much worse than the daichik in Rashi. So that's why I would be inclined to be daichik Rashi and fit into the Gemara. But anyway, but that's what Amshar Shlomo says. Are we okay? Is everyone ever so quiet? Are we okay so far? So the million-dollar shaila is, what is the Amshar Shlomo Svara? According to the Rav HaMagid, number three is the biggest chiddush. According to the Yamshon Shlomo, you have to say case number two is the biggest chiddush, because he says case number three really is no good. That's Lashon Tamua. By Treifa, it's Lashon Tamua. But case number two by Goyim is a good Mu'ed. So why should it be that according to the Yamshon Shlomo, by a guy is better than a treifa? What is he arguing between him and the Rav HaMagid? Right, that will be a basic question. And any suggestions?
First of all, everything we were saying is on the assumption that it's a buildup. But
right. Well, I'm saying the Rav HaMagid for sure. I'm saying I'm bringing a Rai from the Rav HaMagid. I mean, the Gemara. If you learn everything is three steps to Mua, then if you learn that everything's a Tamua, which the Amshar Shlomo learns, then it is a buildup because each one's answering the previous question.
Yeah, but it could be that each one has a new problem. Meaning that the second one is answering a problem with the first one, but now there's a totally different problem with the second.
Oh, okay, but that still means that the third one, and if you're learning it's a Tamua in all three, the third one does not have the problem of the second one. Maybe the second one has a different problem than the first. That's true. But the third one has less problems than the second. That's what you'd have to learn. There's some problem that the second have, if you're not like the Amshar Shlomo, the simple reading. There's some problem that the second have, which the third one did not have. And that's why
the third one for the But the third one can have a problem that the second did not.
That could be. You know, when the Gemara shlugs up the third, it could be that they're bringing in a new problem.
It is possible that there's really no, that they're all on the same level. That we don't have to say that one, you know, is more poshut or one is more.
I hear. But at least within each area, one is more poshut than the other. In other words, within this problem, this is more poshut.
Yes.
Right, but you're right. There could be three problems. Okay, that's true. All right. So, what would be the Yamshar Shlomo Svara? Why is a goy better than a Jew treifa? What would you people say?
Well, I think you would say Pashup Shah that it's just a healthier person. They're both people who are healthy. So the difference of Jew or not Jew is like we were saying a svara, that like the Rebbe Chanan story. But if you don't have that svara, and maybe it's not such a big difference between Jew and non-Jew.
In other words, you're saying physically. Right. Physically, a treifa might not, even if he's walking and talking, but he's still not necessarily as strong as a person who's not a treifa. So the difference would be in other words, when the Gemara slugs up treifa, treifa is being slugged up because it doesn't take that much strength. In other words, you're saying it's like a new svara by treifa. Treifa is bringing in a new svara according to the Yamshar Shlomo. Since he's a treifa, it's not a raya because what's the big deal to kill a treifa? You know, that's like a new svara that the Gemara is talking
about. You kill a treifa, isn't he like already, is he considered already dead?
Right, is he a gosis? Is that
he's
what that
not
means?
A gosis, he's a treifa. Treifa means that there's he was diagnosed with a problem, certain type of problem, not every problem makes you a trifa. And the doctors, and that problem you can't live more than a year with.
Doesn't it say by trefa about paying, though? The shlagup has to do with paying, not with how healthy they are.
I don't know. You have to show me.
You could say that you didn't.
I can't hear Rabbi Sebra. What are you? You're saying something?
The ox know that the people who killed were trifers?
Of course not. Check them out. The ox is not so smart.
Isn't it safe?
No, but they're saying, Sarah, that you have to prove that the ox is gores with enough strength to kill. We said yesterday that there's two questions, which we wanted to say yesterday that you even need six animals. But even if you don't need six animals, you have to prove two things. You have to prove that the ox doesn't like, you know, he's a gorer. This creature, this min, gets on his nerves. And you have to prove that when he gores with enough strength, you know, that he's going to kill. It's some gores that just gore with they don't gore so hard. They just give a friendly little push. Some animals give a really gesunde zets. So they're saying, the guys are suggesting a svara, that a trefa doesn't mean that he's deadly ill. And I suspect a trefa you could look at and you won't tell the difference, because a trefa is an internal problem, that one of his internal organs is not functioning properly. But it doesn't mean that he can't, it just means that eventually, you know, so let's say a trefa by yardea is an animal that has a hole in its lung. Now, it doesn't mean that that hole in the lung will kill you immediately, but eventually the hole will get bigger and this and that. And that once you have that hole, it's a type of thing that grows and spreads, and that within a year, the lung will have to give out. So it could be right now the person's in health, but he has this problem. So the guys are saying, but maybe that problem weakens him to a certain extent.
That's what Rashi says, right? Rashi says because he's dead, because he killed a dead man.
No. It was Pashup Shot again. Shamir wanted to read Rashi his way, and yes, and it will be dead right. But Pashup Shot in Rashi is that Rashi is going is out of order. And Rashi wrote a trepido katlinene to explain how the Gemara answered the question. As the Gemara asked Akasha that whenever you kill a person, you already kill the animal. So how do we have a three
Mood.
That killed three times? Emperor the Gemara killed the trepa. Rashi's body, but still, trepa is a Jew. So the guy killed the Jew, he should kill the animal. So Rashi's saying, that's Pasha's Parshat and Rashi. You have to say that in order to explain how the Gemara answered a question. And to say that Rashi skipped it, and then why did he say it? But obviously he doesn't know it until he says it.
Doesn't the Gemara say Mu'ud the Trefa lo havi Mu'ud l'shalim? So it's focused on payment, not on how hard you are to kill.
I don't know. It doesn't say. It's just you're not a Mu'ud. The question is, why aren't you a Mu'ud? Mu'ud means lo have a mu'ud is the result, but it doesn't say the reason.
Wait, isn't the simple reason because you didn't kill three times?
As mu'ud the behema lo have a mu'ud Israel, and Rashi and Daf Beis they say the reason is because of the mislay mazo, and therefore you have to hit a Israel harder. So the words of the Gemara are not pashup shat. The Gemara is not explaining the reason. The Gemara is only making a statement of din. Why? It doesn't say why.
Doesn't the halachos not line up? The halachos not going to, if a treifa lo katlinin leis, it's not like, no? So it's not halachically equivalent to a shalim. So we that
kills but in the parship shot, excuse me, you know, we can't mix my shot and the amshar shleimo. In the parship shot, that's irrelevant. Because in the Parshup Shat, all you need really is an Umnina. In the Parshup Shat and the Gemara, really, if we had an Umnina, Umnina would be fine. Rav Ashi only argued Umnina Lav Kolom because he's going in the Shita and Shas that we don't rely on Umninas. Now, by a Trefa or by a, the Havamina was that by a Trefa, we have a good Umnina. says the Gemara, according to this reading, the Gemara is coming out that no, a treifa, you don't have a good umdina. But by a goy, oh, then you have a good umdina. Once you have a good umdina, you become a mu'ed.
Maybe you also need to kill three times.
Who cares? You don't need the dinim to line up. That was something that I made up to answer the Rashash's kasha. But, you know, it doesn't mean it's a, anyone else holds of that. We don't know.
Even without what Rebbe was saying, in order to, maybe you need to kill three times. And by a treifa, you didn't kill three times.
But you see, the Gemara's had a havamina that.
The havamina is that umdina itself is enough.
That umdina, it makes you into a mu'ed. Even though you didn't kill three times either. And the Gemara only shrugged it up by saying, we don't know what the Gemara said, umdina lav klum. Now, maybe the Gemara shrugged it up because you have to actually kill. That's what I said. But the, you know, Shamir quotes this other people that says that the shlug up was only because we don't rely on umdina. Umdina is not good in
chaff. A goy works. I know what we're trying to do here. A goy works. I'm saying if you kill three goy,
maybe the havamina was that treifa killing a treifa is killing three times.
Right.
Again, but
right.
Right. So the havamina held. The movement of the Gemara is the original havamina thought umdina helps. The Gemara shlugged it up that umdina doesn't help. In the simple reading, umdina doesn't help. We're doing the simple reading. We didn't get to any chedushim yet. So in the simple reading, umdina doesn't help only because we don't rely on umdina. Louis said there was a really good umdina, it wouldn't help. So you don't need a real killing. But an umdina is not a clear proof. So then the Gemara says, okay, if he actually killed the behemoth, then you have a clear proof. Gemara says that's not a clear proof. Then the Gemara says, what if you killed the guy? And what if you go to treifa? So in the simple reading of the Gemara is saying both the goy and the treifa is not a clear proof for the reason given by the Rav HaMagid, because the owner is more concerned about watching, protecting a Jew than a goy and a treifa. In the Yamshel Shloimo's, the way he's reading Rashi, it comes out that the Gemara is saying that treifa is not a good proof. We're saying maybe because it takes less energy to kill it. But a guy would be a good proof. And therefore you are a mu'ed, because once you have a good proof, that's all you need. All you need is a proof.
That's does the treifa have mazel?
What?
Does the treifa have mazel?
Obviously it doesn't have
mazel. I don't know, we're not focusing on mazel, I don't know. Rashi just the treifa has a treifa dika mazo. Yeah, that's good mazo.
Okay.
Anyway, so let's go back. All right, so that's the background. So we have two different ways of reading the Gemara. So now comes along the Rishash and he asks his kasha. Rishash and his Havamina was learning like the Rav HaMagid, that all three are no good. So then he asks the kasha, why does the Gemara have to say that that behema to Yisrael is not a mu'ed? Because even a goy, and Rashi's first shot is, because a person has seichel, mazo and Rashi's first shot is seichel, to be careful, to protect themselves, a goy also has seichel. And yet the Gemara says, mu'ed a goy is not a mu'ed, So the Rashash really answers that Rashi holds like the, you know, Rashi holds like that the middle case, Rashi and Beis, will hold like the Yamshel Shlomo's quoting of Rashi and Daf Mem Aleph, that Ein Hachinami by a goy, you are a mu'ed. It's not Lashon Tamua. And the truth is that works. That really does, to be honest, it answers the Rashash's kasha. Why is treifa no good? So we gave him shot. The treifa is a different svara because it's weak. So that would work for Rashi, right? So the honest truth is that there is a relatively simple answer to the Rashash's kasha. If you learn Rashi and Mem Aleph like the Yamshel Shloimo, right? That's the answer.
That's sort of the Rosh Hashanah's answer also.
Right, except that is really what the Rashash, except that for some strange reason, which we do not know, the Rashash says the same thing is true by Treifa, and that's against Rashi MMA. So the Rashash, I don't know, he just, you know, he just talked too much and he said something that's not true. The Chara for not necessary reason either. So unless, because he couldn't think of this Sara that we just said, that a treif is weaker. Maybe it's not true. Treifas aren't weaker. I don't know. So maybe that's why he felt he had to explain treifa. But you know, there is a way we're at least reading the Amshel Shlomo, the Rashash's kash is answered. I assume the Rashash didn't like this svara that treif is weaker. So he had to figure out an answer for treifa too. So he said that Rashi, I'm not man-based, we'll read treif also differently, but then we got the shlug up the Rashash from Rashi himself. Right, you're okay?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get into, you know, Shamir's world because I know how you handle that, but it sounded like he didn't have the Girsa of Rashi. He didn't have the Girsa of
personally,
Rashi. Bitzmiya on the third.
I don't know if you can say that. The Rashash is not so long ago that he had different Girsas. Rashash is the 1800s. We know the Gerses that we have today and the Gerses in the 1800s, I don't think were so different. It's one thing a Gerses in the 1500s, 1600s, they were still Klaviyats floating around. But the 1800s, the Rashash is one that printed the, you know, had the Gemara printed, Shas Vilna, right? That's what everyone says. He bankrolled it. But the Rashash was still a very big God, though. No one should belittle the Rashash. Right? Rashiva's favorite story with Rabbi Yisrael and the Rashash. You know Rashiva's favorite story with Rabbi Yisrael and Rashash? No? Everyone has to know Rashiva.
No, I don't know it.
The Rashash and Rabbi Yisrael.
Is that the one with the golden watch?
Yes. And they're having an argument. If you have total bitochin that you'll get something, well, you definitely get it, no matter what. So Rabbi Yisrael said yes. And Rashash said, Mehechitesi, maybe Hashem doesn't want to give it to you. So why will I give it to you? Bitochin. So they had this argument. So the Rabbi Yisrael said, okay, let's test it. So they have total bitochin, I'll get a watch, gold watch, whatever. And about a minute later, a soldier knocked on the door. And he said that, you know, that I was on the front and a Jewish soldier died. And this was his belongings. And he wanted me to give it to some rabbi. They gave him this bag, they opened it up, and inside was a watch. So the Rashash said, I go, Rabbi Yisrael, I guess you're right. So the story goes that I don't remember which Gado, some Gado said, the biggest mayface was not that Rabbi Yisrael got the watch. The biggest mayface is Rashash was made. People usually say them, you know. People, hey, it's not muchroch, still not a raya. I can still hold argue.
I would just point out, as far as the Rashash himself here, he does says shitaso khan. Like, I mean, he does make the point shitaso khan. I mean, why is khan as opposed to where? I don't know.
So what is he trying to say? That Rashi on Beis argues with Rashi on Memawif. Is that a, I mean, I don't know, again, my Claude Rashi, but is that a feasible thing that Rashi on Beis, in order to answer the Gemara on Mem Alef, in order to defend the Gemara on Beis from Mem Alef, we'll read the Gemara on Mem Alef different than he reads it on Mem Alef. I mean, what's that supposed to mean?
I mean, Rashi could have been Chozer, right?
He does say the word Khan, though. I just poured it out.
Okay, why he was Chozer, but why? So, I mean, you're saying like this. You're saying, oh, I understand. You're going to tell me that Rashi on Beis has two pshatim, and the Rashash's kash is only shver. It could be on Rashi's first shot that the other has seichel. It's not shver on Rashi's second shot. So you'll say that Rashi can, he means the first shot, will argue with what he said on Mem Aleph, and Rashi and Mem Aleph will go like the second shot in Rashi and Beis. Okay, maybe that's what the Rashash meant. I feel that sounds pretty daichik, because it's not like he said the maskana kain ikar. He just gave two pshatim. He doesn't really say that he likes the second shot better than the first. There's no indication to that. He just says.
I mean, on Lamed Zayin, he uses that svar of.
Of what?
That a person. Makes you known. To see.
Of what? Which svara?
Sorry, no, of on the Muslim by Mazel.
Well, Gemara uses the lashon of Islay Mazel. So, so you can't, that doesn't mean it's just a question.
No, sorry.
Rashi just says, Lishna Achrina, Lishna Daf Beis. Lishna Achrina does not necessarily mean that he holds it. So, Rashash is a little funny. I agree. The Rashash is funny. In other words, we're just pointing out that a man, a MS, you could, the Rashash, in other words, and it's really a little bit being a pickbook on me, because if I want to say like a big chiddush to answer Rashash's kasha, the truth is, to answer Rashash's kasha is not so hard. You don't really, you know, like I just say, being the man of MS, it's not like we slugged up the Rashash's answer, and therefore there's this tremendously difficult kasha, and we have to say my Torah to answer the question. The answer to the Rashash's question is not difficult if you say it like the Yam Shoshoimo. For some reason or other, the Rashash himself did not say like that. And therefore, the Rashash is in problem that he's in stira to Rashi and Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. But the Rashash himself could have, you could theoretically answer the question if you said like the Amshel Shlomo. Okay, the question, I think we still have a right to ask a question, because the Maisa of the Rav HaMagid, who is a Rishon, clearly argued with the Amshel Shlomo, right? Right? The Rav HaMagid says beferish that Rashi learns all three are temua. I think it's pretty clear in the Amshel Shlomo, in the Rav HaMagid. No? Anyone have a Rav HaMagid?
It's not mefurish. He just says that the Rashi had a different girsa than the Rambam. I mean, I just say it's not mefurish.
It's a pashas in the Rambam. It's not saying that Rashi is partially, right? He's saying that Rashi is like this is temua. He doesn't seem to say it like that. And even the Yamsha Shlomo only says it's ksas mashma. He doesn't say it's mukhrach that way from Rashi and Daf Beis. So it does leave us room. And even though the Yamsha Shlomo, if you would say like the Yamsha Shlomo, you would answer the Rashash's question, but there is, it does sound like the Rav HaMagid didn't learn that way. I don't have a Rav HaMagid. I didn't bring my Rambam in, so I can't check it, but I think so. And the Yamsha Shlomo himself is a little bit, you know, definitely seems to be saying it's not Mukhra. So if you're assuming not like the Yamsha Shlomo, you assume that Rashi is a simple way. So then we have a question, how are we going to answer the Rashash's Kasha and Rashi? So we said yesterday, not yesterday, we said 2 days ago, what I thought was a very nice answer. And then the guys wanted a, you know, a little clarity, and they, you know, I didn't, because I admit I didn't say it right in the share. I said you have to have payment. I missaid it. Is that we were saying that and we said maybe that's shy and umdina lav klum, is that it's not sufficient only umdina. In order to be a mu'ed, maybe there are other factors you have to do. One of them is you have to bring an umdina to prove that you're a wild animal and that you would gore. But maybe besides which, you also have to actually do this thing that you're doing, because not because it's a proof, it's not because it's a simon, and it's not because it's a siba. It's just because that's one of the hilchos mu'ed. One of the hilchos mu'ed is you have to get locked in that you've done it. You've done it, that you've done this thing 3 times. Therefore, there's a, that's one of the halachic requirements of mu'ed. I don't know. I don't dorish time at the craw, but there are technicalities. That's what we were saying. Even though, you know, you're going to read the time of the mitzvahs and they're going to give some reason, and then you say, well, according to that reason, I can do the mitzvah differently. You're not yet. Yeah. You have to do the mitzvah the way Hashem said, because there's some reason. So,
well, Rebbe, even the Rav HaMagid says that if it weren't for the Sfara, that he's more careful with a Yisrael than a Goy, that that you would, that the Gemara wouldn't have a question, meaning there is Madama Milsa Milsa.
Okay. So what we're saying, okay, but in order to answer, the Rishash's Kasha, we have to say that besides, or you're right, throughout Yom Shoshul Yom, you have Magen Mishnah, and maybe you have a Diak. Okay, maybe you're a Yom Shoshul Yom, wouldn't work in the Yom in the Rabba Magen. Maybe you're right. But we were saying, to answer Rosh Hashanah's Kasha, that the reason why Mu'ad HaBehemah Lavi Mu'ad HaAdam is because it's not a good, because it's not a good Umnida. Because of like Rashi Svara, because an Adam has das to watch himself. But the reason why Mu'ad Le'akum or the Trefa, Lo Avi Mu'ad HaShalem, there you don't have the Svara of because the guy has das. So it's a completely different reason. The reason is not because it's not a good Umdina. I would have to say not like the Yom Shoshalim, but not like the Magen Mishnah, you're right. But the reason is because there's a requirement that you have to do a Maisa Hezek three times. You have to do the thing that you're doing on the fourth time, you had to do the basic thing three times. The basic thing, the basic action. You're doing the fourth time a Maisa Hezek. That's what you're paying for, because a Maisa Hezek. So you have to be muksik that you do a Maisa Hezek. You have to do it three times. You have to be locked in to doing the Maisa of Hezek of three times. So there's another requirement. That's what we were trying to say on I don't know, 2 days ago.
I thought Rebbe was going to say that in the Rava Magid also, meaning that as far as Shor itself, since Shor is a Torah Dika Negicha, and the Torah does refer to it as a Negicha, that if you need a Svarach Reichis to say that, even though that is a Negicha, if I want to make Dama Milsa Milsa, I know this is a Negicha, I want to make a new Negicha, so then I can Mechalek with the Svarach Koldehu.
Okay, maybe, I don't know. Okay, here, I have to, but the Svar that we were trying, we were trying to say that there's a requirement that you need three times a Maisa Hezek. Why? With Maisa, we have an Umnina that we have a perfect Umnina, because if you kill a guy, there's a perfect, since the animal has no brains to be realized, well, who's a Jew and who's a guy? So the fact that you killed three Goyim is a perfect Umnina that you would kill a Jew. Because the only, even by a behemoth, would be a perfect umdina, if not for the fact that the Adam islay mazel to protect himself. So a guy who also protects himself, so mitzah the umdina shabbah, you have a perfectly good umdina. So we were saying, this is what we were trying to mechanish, and yes, mitzah the umdina, if you have a perfectly good umdina, but who said that the only reason why you need a din mu'ed is to create an umdina? That's not necessarily mukhrak. It could be that Kadosh Baruch Hu is very, I don't want to say smart, not the right word, and it could, you can kill two birds with one stone. So maybe doing something, doing the din of mu'ed three times does two things. It's an umdina, and it's also, it locks you in a certain behavior, not midin umdina, and you the same one action of killing three times does both at the same time, but you need that combination of both two things, and therefore if you just killed a guy, you're missing one of the two ingredients. So einachinami, you have an umdina, but you're missing the other ingredient. By a behemah, since it is a maisa hezek, so you have that ingredient. The question I was asked is, if you kill a Jew, why are you a mu'ed? If you killed three Jews, you don't pay, because it's a maisa hezek. There's you did a maisa hezek for some zeris akosav, you don't pay. I don't know why it's a plia. If you're mazik a person, you have to pay. If you kill him as a tam, first three times, you don't have to pay. Right? That sounds very tamuadik. So maybe it's a pasuk, Bala Shorinaki. So what do you want? But it's still, the pasuk doesn't say that it's not a Maisa Hezek. The pasuk is just, can't deny the Metzias that you did a Maisa Hezek. The pasuk is just saying that for some reason you don't think, maybe it's Kimlei B'drava Minei. Maybe I wrote on that paper, it's because you pay me gufo and there's no value to the animal.
Yeah, but that wouldn't apply to Rabbi Akiva makes that point to Rabbi Eliezer, and they respond, no, it's because it's relevant when there's no Aiden for Skila.
What?
I say it's relevant when there's no Aiden for Skila, you still don't pay.
Still don't pay. Okay, I hear. So I would
Would you pay the guy? You killed him. You kill a guy, you should pay. Let's say you kill him with your own hands, Joe.
I can't hear. What?
Why should you pay someone that you killed?
You should pay his yorshim. If you damage someone, let's say you damage him, you broke his leg.
You owe him money.
You owe him money because for the hezek. Now, when you kill him, didn't you do more hezek than just damaging him? Obviously, killing is more hezek than damaging. So you owe him money. Now he's dead, so you pay the yorshim. Just like kofar kapara, kofar went down the
floor. When did the field come?
What?
How do you owe money if he's dead? You owe the guy money, then you owe the person money.
You pay his yorshim.
Yeah, but that's if you owed him money.
So you owe him. You owe him, and then it goes to the yorshim.
I think Kesky's asking, when does the chavos chiyuv take place if the guy dies right away?
He said, the chiyuv goes right away on him or to the yarshim. It goes to the yarshim. You're mazik. You're saying as far as that if he died, it never could get a chalos chiyuv on him because he is dead, and then you can't go to the yarshim. Okay, I don't know.
You don't owe him the money because he's dead. So don't tell me to pay his yarshim. You only pay yarshim when you owed money to the father, so then
maybe I don't know. I'll tell you the truth. I don't know. I'm not ready to go to the bank with that svara, because Pashas, you were mazikim, you pay the yarshim, but you're saying that you need in order to get a chiyav to the yarshim, you need a second that there's a chalos chiyav on him, and if he died, okay, I hear.
In the fourth time, if the kofar is a nezek, then we have an example of a case that it does happen.
Yeah, but that's the kofar is only domain nezek, but it's really kofar kapara, so maybe it's different. It's kofar kapara, it's domain nezek, but I happen to agree with you. I'm not ready. I would rather say I don't know. Sometimes I think you're safer in saying you don't know. And it's a strange thing that if you're mazik him, you have to pay. If you kill him, you have to pay. Pashup shot, even if it's a two-step process, even if, you know, he didn't die, took him 5 minutes to die, you probably also don't have to pay, right? That would maybe, your answer, when I don't know if it would work with that. If let's say the animal gored him, and first he broke his leg and his arm, and then he killed him, you know, he didn't die the instant that he got gored. Took him 5 minutes. He had to keep on smashing and smashing until he killed him. So I assume you're still potter. We don't say, well, first it was chala chalais chiyav mamin because he broke your arm and legs, and then it was all one goring. And at the end, he ended up killing the person. I'm pretty sure you wouldn't pay at all. So it's very strange. Why you don't pay after if a hezek pays, killing is the biggest hezek, but that's the din. It's a pasuk ubawa shornaki, but we're saying that even though you're potter to pay, it's still a maisa hezek. The Torah doesn't mechayev you to pay on this maisa hezek, but it's a maisa hezek. You can't deny that the animal damage, for some reason. The Torah doesn't obligate you to pay on that damage. I don't know. It's a kasha, but the it's a maisa hezek. So according to what I was trying to say, that there's two requirements to become a muad. You need an umdana, But the day of that umdina is lav klomo is besides the umdina, you have to do a maisa hezek. When you gora behema, you did a maisa hezek. So lo yisur, you had an umdina, it would be good. There's no umdina because a behema doesn't have mazel. Here we can't be watch itself. By a trefa and a shana and a guy, they have mazel. You know, if you're doing mazel as seicho, so that's problem doesn't exist. But the Gemara is shlugging it up because it's not a maisa hezek. And there's this other requirement that you got to do a maisa hezek three times. Right? That's what I was trying to answer.
Rabbi, I'm a little confused because why do we have a right to make the, by Shor Nisko, why do we have a right to call it a maisa hezek as opposed to a maisa hariga?
Is hezek.
I mean, hariga is hariga. I mean, it's qualitatively better. Something beyond hezek. No,
called a maisa hariga. So,
but then it sounds like Rebbe's saying the validity of being medame to the general shore, it's mazik shore,
right, is
because they're both maisa hezek.
It's a maisa hezek. But if you have a more than a maisa hezek, it's a kal v'chomer. You need three times maisa hezek.
But why would we, again, why would we think that behemoth suffices? Behemoth is just a maisa hezek as opposed to by other words, a maisa hariga.
Listen, and then you see from the Gemara that it suffices because the Gemara only shlugged it up because of the mislay mazel. The Gemara didn't shlug it up any other way. So say, does that mean the Gemara holds it? It suffices. But we're saying that it could be that a goy and a trefa don't suffice because it's not even a maisa hezek.
What's Rabbi's cheshbon again? Why it's not a maisa hezek?
By a guy, because a guy, the pasuk that we say when you're mazik a guy, you're potter. Any of a guy's property. If you're mazik a guy's property.
You kill a Jew too. You're also potter. It's still a maisa hezek.
If you're mazik his money, you're potter.
Right, but why does that mean it's not a maisa hezek?
If you're mazik a Jew's money, you're chayiv. Why are you mazik a guy's money, you're potter? So the Gemara said because. The Torah makes the goy, the gabi, a Jew, it's like hefker. So the Torah was mafkerit. So if you're mazik hefker, I don't think that's a maisa hezek.
Why? Because you're potter, it's not a maisa hezek?
I go into the agam and I break a tree that doesn't belong to anyone. That's not called mazik. It's mazik, the world. Mazik means you're mazik a person. You're hurting someone.
I would have thought that shows a cow is a mole.
I'm not showing umdina. That's umdina. But we're saying you need a maisa hezek. If you damage something that doesn't belong to anyone, it's not called a maisa hezek.
Does that also apply by the trefa?
Trefa would be a different svara. Trefa is because... there, it belongs to a Jew, so you can't say, but I was saying it's not a maisa hezek because halachically, a trefa has no halachic value. He's like, he's considered dead. Rashi says, the gavra katila katlo. So he's halachically considered dead. If he's halachically considered dead, so you didn't do anything. So gavra katila katlo, so that's also not a maisa hezek. It's like you broke, you know, what we had there in Baba Kamas, you broke a broken keli. That's a sugya. If a person throws a keli off the roof and it's about to get smashed on the floor, and I take a baseball bat and I smash it before it breaks. So there's a svar that you're potter because it was already broken. So you break a breaking thing, it's not doing anything. So,
are we sure that you won't be chayiv hezek there? I mean, I'm a little concerned.
I am not sure, and I'll give you the ability. You can have so much fun looking it up, and then you can come back and shlug me up. Won't that make your day? But I am sticking my neck out and saying that there is no hezek, because since there's a svar of gavra katila kato, there's no hezek remazek a trefa. You're right.
Rebbe's saying by Gore
that it's wrong, then I made your day because then you succeeded in shlugging me up. And you're
like the approach. I don't want to shlug it up.
Rebbe's saying that if you break the
shlug me up, come on. You know, yeah,
Rebbe's saying if you break the, according to Rebbe, if you break the leg of a trefa, you're not chayev.
Maybe because, but when you kill a trefa, you didn't do anything. Because what Rashi says, Gavra Katila Kato. That's it.
That's the Mises already.
You're not doing anything. He's already dead, or you made him dead. Maybe you broke his leg.
You're killing him. He's already, because he's already dead.
I don't know. But I would suspect if you break his leg, you're also a potter. But that, look it up. What?
Rebbe's saying that's not a Maisa Hezek when you kill three Jews. It's just an Umdana?
It's when you kill three Jews who are healthy, it is a Maisa Hezek. I'm saying that besides...
Why is it a Maisa Hezek?
Because you killed a person. A person has value. You killed them. You were mazik him. Ah, you don't pay. That's exeris akosif. But you did a Maisa Hezek. You are someone of value. A Jew has value. And you killed him. That means you destroyed his value. So that's a Maisa Hezek. There's a second requirement that you have to do a Maisa Hezek. So there's, let's try and go quickly because our mom is running out of time. So that's how we want to answer the Rishash's first Kasha. Or I don't remember which Kasha comes first. I guess that's the first. So then we said that could be that answer the Rishash's second Kasha too. Because since the whole Yisrael is that you got to make it, there's a requirement of three times. Is that you become hooksuk in the same thing that you're doing the fourth time. So we have to connect the third time and the fourth time to the same thing. So now if you're killing three Adams and the fourth time it's an Adam, so okay, there's no problem. Obviously they're connected. It's all killing Adams. You connected them. But the Gemara wanted to connect killing three behemoths to killing an Adam. Three behemoths in the first three times to killing Adam. And the fourth time. And the only shlug up was because Adam is like Mazel. But without the problem of Adam is like Mazel, it would have worked. Why? Because that means you have your Maisa Hezek and the Maisa. But if the fourth time is the Toiras Chia Misa and Kofer Kapara Chia Misa, and it's this May Mazik, so then it's really not, the fourth time has nothing to do with Hezek. So a Maisa Hezek doesn't help me. I'm not doing a Maisa Hezek. So who cares if the first three times were Maisa Hezek? You have to make, in order to be a Mu'ed, the first three times have to be the same as the fourth time. So if you're learning the Kofer is the May Nizik, so then the fourth time is Hezek. So then you can hear as far as that if the first three times is also Hezek, then you fulfilled your requirement of doing the three times the same as the fourth time. But if you're going to say Demei Mazik, or you're going to say that the Torah said Misa, it means Misa Mamish, so then really the fourth time has no shaykhus to Demei to doing a Maisa Hezek. The fourth time is a Maisa Aveira, not a Maisa Hezek. Maisa Hezek's not a Maisa Aveira. There's no necessary aveir in the hezek. It's just your maisa hezek. What you need to do is three aveiras of misa. So what does it help me that you killed three behemoths? You don't have a maisa aveira. The whole fourth time is an aveira. It's your chayav misa. You're paying the demei mazik. Your demei mazik, which is kofer kapara, because it's an aveira misa. So you would need that the first three times also have to be a Maisa Aveira. Okay, you killed a person. So that would make sense. But killing a behemoth, what kind of, there's no connection. So there, that would be very good. Why Rashi had to say, Rashi had to went out of his way to say it's not Misa. And why Rashi goes out of his way to say to make Nizik. And then the Maramokum of today is that really Rashi is, I didn't know that when I read the Rashi. It's not just that I was asking that Rashi is a Yenta, because why does he have to tell us that Misa is Lav Dafka? But the Meforshim say that Rashi is even wrong, because the Nisa Gemara and Suvis says that Misa does mean Misa. So I would say that Rashi would learn that this Gemara, maybe in Baba Kama, they say Rashi is Lav Dafka. But that's very delicate. What we're saying it is that Rashi knows that in order, this, our Gemara can't hold like that Gemara in Tzuvis, because in order for our Gemara to have a Havamina, the Mu'ada Behemavi Mu'ada Adam, and the only reason it's not is because Yeshua Mazo, you have to say that it's that the fourth time is not a din misa. I, the Gemara in Ksuva, says it is a din misa. So this Gemara can't learn like that Gemara in Ksuva.
Okay. I thought you just say that you hide misa unless you give kofar. Meaning,
but it's still the
kofar is matzil.
But I wasn't. We were asking it, and you're not answering my question. Why Rashi such a yenta to say it? So we were trying to say that the money is only to get out of the misa. Then really what you're doing is your chayiv misa. So then it's the ikir chayiv is a misa, and therefore it wouldn't, the mu'ed would be, the money is only after the fact, but the mu'ed gives you the chayiv misa.
I mean the other way, meaning that if you don't give the money, then you're chayiv misa. Meaning that
okay, there's different... We didn't say that. Okay. We didn't say, we're saying that you're chayiv misa.
It's pretty huge to throw out the Gemara and Ksuvos.
It's not like you. Rambam says, Shechia misa zu, then no saying kofar, and that nichfar. So the misa,
again, I was presuming we're going to have to say that, meaning that there's a Gemara says Yechayiv misa for Yechayiv misa b'dei shemayim.
But Misa, we're definitely not arguing. We have to argue with the Rambam. In other words, what we're saying very nicely, you know, this is not just the kasha that we had last week, a few days ago, with the Rashi Zayenta. Why does Rashi have to say that it's not a chiyav misa? The kasha is much stronger. It's not just that Rashi's a yanta. The kasha is that Rashi's arguing with the Gemara in Ksuvis, because Rashi says there's no chiyav misa, and the Gemara, or he's definitely arguing with the Rambam. I don't know. You can figure out a way to fit into the Gemara in Ksuvis. But it's not just that he's a yanta. So it's one thing to be a yanta, but he's going out of his way to argue with a beferish a Rambam. What does Rashi stick his neck out to argue with the Rambam? The Rambam says that there is a chiyav misa, and the kofar is only to get out of the misa. And Rashi says that's not pshat. The kofar comes straight. You're never chayav misa. There was never a moment in time you're chayav misa. So the answer is, we're saying, because Rashi was bothered. Why does the Gemara have to say that mu'ed abehemot avi mu'ed adam? Because you don't have a good umdana, because of the mislaimazo. Say, because you don't have the three times to lock you in. So you have to say you do have, because it's the same family. That only makes sense if the basic word, the mu'ed on the fourth time, is a ma'isa hezek. So then you did three behem is ma'isa hezek. So, but the word of the fourth time is a ma'isa hariga, then you're chay of misa because you're a murderer. So it's a yoredeya dikadin. It's an avera dikadin. You did a ma'isa avera. So what are you showing me? Well, you did three times hezek to a behema. That's not, there's no even avera there. It's just to din a ma'isa hezek. So because you locked in that you're a mazik, you're locked in as a behema of an avera. It's no shaykhis. So it wouldn't be able to make you into a mu'ed. So the what comes out that again that the two kashas that are a shash, we would answer with the same answer. Okay, that's basically it. All right, I hope it was clear. Rafi, are you okay? You're so quiet. You're supposed to. I'm expecting you to scream at me. Okay, Sandra, you all right?
I like it.